Welcome to the Spectrum Policy podcast, brought to you by Policy Tracker, which provides news, research and training about spectrum management. This podcast looks at an ongoing issue, what spectrum policy should be doing about environmental issues. Nearly all countries have signed the Paris Agreement to limit climate change, and that commitment is filtering through to national policy, raising the question of what contribution spectrum management should be making. It's a question that's not yet been answered, and there have been a few studies, but as yet, very little consensus and few policy announcements. I'm Martin Sims, Policy Tracker's Managing Director, and my guide for this subject is my colleague Laura Sear, who's been writing articles and reports on this topic. So, Laura, where does the communications sector stand in comparison to other parts of the economy? So clearly things like the airline industry and coal-fired power stations are doing a lot of damage to the environment, but is it the same for the communications industry generally?
So yeah, no, not really. The latest figures say that it's about 2%, and that's for the entire sector. So 2% of global carbon emissions is the IT sector. And the entire sector, that means data centers, fixed and mobile networks, and devices. But latest estimations and the way that our world is progressing means that that number might go up. And latest estimations are around 14% right now. So it is going to grow for sure.
And that's because people are using more data?
Our world is digitalizing. Everybody's using more data. Everybody wants to make a phone call on their mobile phone. So it's normal that that number is going to go up the more the industry is developing, yeah. Of course.
And what they're counting really is predominantly the energy consumption?
Carbon emissions. That's the carbon emission side of it. That's what they normally measure is carbon emissions and energy. Yeah, that's part of it.
Right, but it would also include the raw materials that went into phones and fixed line equipment and computers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
well.
Generally everything's kind of combined in that greenhouse gas emission.
Yeah, but it does, because when people think about the environmental impact of the IT industry, I suppose they're thinking partly about the damage that it does, what carbon emissions does it emit. But is there a sense in which the communications industry can also help prevent climate change?
Yeah, that's the biggest paradox of this entire story, right? According to the ITU and according to the UN, digitalization is helping the fight against climate change. So ICT is a big part of the solution here, and the pandemic is a great example for that. Everybody was stuck at home, teleworking, and emissions went down, and everybody saw it had a great benefit for the climate, actually.
I suppose other things like smart cities, maybe.
Smart cities as well, yeah.
Use less energy if you can switch all the streetlights off, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. But all of these things need a good and fast network. And that means that our connectivity needs to be better, needs to grow, our networks needs to grow, and the energy that the network needs to support that just grows as well. So the footprint of the industry is getting larger, and it's this paradox that people are trying to investigate and see how they can reduce the growth of the footprint and alongside improving connectivity, of course.
Mm. And of course, we're talking about the communications industry generally, of which spectrum policy is a small bit of it. And is spectrum policy, is the main thing that the communications sector can do to fight climate change? Is how big a part can spectrum policy play in that, do you think?
So right now it's a really small part because there's a lot of uncertainty around spectrum policy and sustainability. The main effort at the moment is really coming from the industry. So you have something that's which is called science-based target initiatives, and that's the free scopes. And a lot of operators and vendors are committing to those scopes, which is reducing your own emissions, which is scope one. Scope two is reducing indirect emissions from your own from your own productions, and scope three is reducing the emission of the entire supply chain. Something has to do with spectrum, of course. And regulators have been thinking about whether or not this has a spectrum can play a part in reaching those goals. Recently, during a during the UK wireless strategy, I saw a line that Ofcom wrote, which was that energy, that spectral efficiency might not have anything to do with energy efficiency, and actually maybe the opposite is true. Maybe a complex radio system just needs more energy, so maybe spectral efficiency is not the answer for sustainability.
So in simple terms, the more efficiently you use the spectrum, the more we all download video files, and if all the kind of 500 people in a cell site, we're all downloading video files that would use more energy than if just one or two people were. So the spectral efficiency is the opposite of the energy efficiency.
That could be the explanation. But again, there's little research about this, and regulators don't really have the authority to look into it either. So you have this as an issue as well.
You say they haven't got the authority. In what sense?
Well, I don't think it's part of the job they're given by governments. Basically, it's not
in the legislation to. Might be to regulate competition and to ensure good outcomes for the consumer, but it doesn't say ensure a good outcome for the environment.
Yeah, that's the job for other governmental departments, I guess. It's not part of the scope for spectrum regulators, basically.
What have spectrum regulators been doing so far, and how have they suggested you might make a contribution via spectrum policy to reducing climate change?
So we did find some regulator bodies, especially the RSPG, the European Spectrum Policy Group. They have been looking into this. They have a special unit for sustainability and spectrum policy. And there are three main aspects that they've found for now, because they're still doing an inquiry about it, which is basically assigning large blocks of spectrum is more efficient for network operation, which seems quite logical, but it's important that somebody says it. Sharing is also part of their recommendations, which comes up more often in this context of sustainability as well. And then a focus on indoor networks to avoid energy wastage on building penetration losses, which is also quite logical, but also not something that you can see written down often. So, yeah.
So that the indoor networks, I suppose it requires a lot of energy to kind of blast the signal through the walls and into the buildings where we often tend to use our mobile phones.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And so if you could have more indoor networks, you'd use less energy.
Yep.
That's interesting.
More capacity indoors.
And the bigger chunks of spectrum, that's because you would use less energy if you could use one piece of spectrum altogether?
Yeah, I guess that's the case now with 5G spectrum assignments, right? Frequency blocks are getting bigger, and according to the RSPG, this has also a positive effect on the amount of energy that a network needs to use.
And sharing that being...
Sharing infrastructure, I think that's what they mean.
Yes, because that's a problem, isn't it? In the sense that over the years, we've been wanting to have infrastructure competition because we think that's good for consumers and it creates like real competition between the mobile operators. But on the other hand, it could have an environmental downside. Is that just in the sense that the more equipment you have,
yeah,
the more energy is?
Yeah, no, that's the case. Yeah, exactly. if you look at 5G networks right now, you just need way more cells to provide that network, to provide that coverage and that capacity. And that's if you start sharing infrastructure, it's just a logical way to save lots of energy and lots of embodied energy as well.
Mm. And this has been really the focus of what regulators have been talking about is energy usage rather than
more than anything else. Yes, and I think that comes from what the industry is actually focused on at the moment.
And is this what do you get similar response from the whole industry? Do vendors say this and operators say it as well?
Yeah, I think the energy aspect of the entire sustainability discussion is the biggest one. I think measuring energy is also a big discussion and there's a lack of consensus around which measurement system that we're going to use. And this is a big deal right now. We have several organizations who are looking into standards. You have Nokia using one standard and Ericsson using the other.
This is for measurement, is it?
For measurement of energy, yes. Right. And not only measurement for energy, it's also broader. It's measurement for the environmental impact, but energy is a big aspect of that.
Mm. So not much of a focus on things like e-waste and recycling phones and that sort of thing?
Not really, not what I've seen, not at the moment. There is some, of course.
It's clearly a good thing, isn't it? I suppose it's hard to know how that fits into spectrum policy. You'd want to encourage operators to recycle phones and to make sure that they reused components of the phones, or you know the minerals within the components. But has anybody come up with a way of trying to get greater take up of that kind of thing?
You mean in a sort of climate neutral sort of obligation with your license?
Yeah.
No, I haven't come across any of the obligations mentioned. I know it's a good idea actually to link your license to some sort of environmental obligation that you need to hit a certain energy target or a certain recycling target, but we haven't come across anything in our research anyway.
Mm. And in terms of what people have suggested, what regulators have suggested, what kinds of things have they suggested so far that would be environmentally benefiting in the spectrum policy arena?
Well, again, not that much. There hasn't been a lot of recommendations besides the ones that I just said the RSPG is thinking about. Mm. There's a big questionnaire out at the moment, which is open, an RSPG questionnaire, which is open until mid-May. And there they ask this really critical question. They ask, what further action would enable you to foster energy efficient spectrum use, if any? So the way that they phrase it already is quite uncertain. So uncertainty is kind of the trend here. Barrick also did a study not that long ago, and they asked, I think they had about 81 answers, 81 stakeholders. And they asked whether spectrum had any role in sustainability, and only one of them, one out of 81, said yes. So one out of 81 is not a lot, and it's going to be interesting how stakeholders are going to answer that question of the RSPG, actually. Like, what do you want from us?
BEREC being the European group of regulators.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Can you remember what the one person said about spectrum?
No, they actually didn't specify it in their report.
Well, they just said it could, but they didn't specify.
They just used it as an example to say that spectrum doesn't have a lot to do with sustainability.
That's interesting, isn't it? And so what's the next steps, do you think, for this? Where is it likely to go next?
So I believe it's finding a consensus, a global consensus around measurement and knowing what the impact of a network is on the environment. That's probably the first step towards any action from regulators, because you basically just don't know at the moment which frequencies demand more energy, or what technology demands less energy or is more efficient. So getting those measurements and getting that data so that they can evaluate it and they can build policy around it, that's key right now. And there is some effort. I believe that ETSI has a standard now, and the RSPG is looking at it at the moment to maybe see if it's viable to become a more global European standard, not a global, European standard. So that's happening at the moment.
And nobody's really trying to measure the benefits of communications technologies. So they're just sort of looking at the costs of them, and there's no kind of attempt to quantify the benefits of them?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I think, within the industry, operators and vendors, they constantly highlight the benefits of having the newest generation communication. 5G is a big example of that. The amount of reports that we look at every year to say how energy efficient 5G is just like, it's quite like everybody's agreed that 5G is energy efficient, which is like mathematically the technology is more efficient than the previous generations.
But there's no attempt to say, well, okay, we're using more energy, but on the other hand, we're flying less because we can do video calls, and no attempt to kind of trade off those two, or is it just seen as too impossible to do as a sum?
Well, it's a really difficult sum to make, because how far does it extend? I think there's been some effort to get a bigger picture of what it actually means to on the energy side. Then I'm not talking about the bigger environmental impact thing. There's been some attempt to have some to measure embodied energy, which is, this is what the network actually consumes to just provide provide connectivity. But then you have all of the devices and all of the energy needs to actually build the towers or build small cells. So there has been some effort to measure that. And then you can see that having the newest technology might not be as energy efficient as all of the operators and vendors claim it is, because there is some sort of trade-off. Even if you use strategies such as smart switch off, which is one of the things that vendors are looking into and are actually already commercially using, which is shutting off transmitters that are not being used at the moment, which is certainly a really good solution to reduce your footprint. Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much. You can keep up with this subject by following the news articles and blogs on our website, policytracker.com. And if you're not a subscriber, you can take a trial just by clicking on an article and filling in your details. So many thanks for listening to this edition of the Spectrum Policy Podcast. And remember to subscribe via your podcast provider so you won't miss future episodes.